Usher, the Golden Future, responses to disciples' questions given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 16.
Beloved Bhagwan, sometimes in discourse I suddenly come to consciousness and realize that I don't know where I've been, and yet the discourse is coming to a close. Your words were coming through, but I'm not sure if I was awake. If I'm not conscious, am I asleep? Are these the only two possibilities? Or is there some stage in between? How to tell the difference?
मेरी कथरी द क्वेश्चन यू हैव आस्क्ड इज द क्वेश्चन एवरीबॉडी नीड्स द आंसर फॉर इट. Man is asleep, but it is no ordinary sleep. He is asleep with open eyes. His sleep is spiritual, not the physical. Just as in physical sleep, your consciousness is filled with dreams. In spiritual sleep, your consciousness is filled with thoughts, desires, feelings, thousand and one things. It is not that you are unconscious in the sense of being in a coma. You are unconscious in the sense that your consciousness is covered with too much dust. Exactly like a mirror, if covered with many layers of dust, will lose the quality of reflecting, will lose the quality of being a mirror. But the mirror is there. All that is needed is to remove the dust. Your consciousness is there. even while you are physically asleep, your consciousness is there. But now more covered than when you are awake. You are asking, that if I am not conscious, am I asleep? Are these the only two possibilities? Is there some space in between? How to tell the difference? You are not unconscious in the sense a person falls into a coma. You are not conscious in the sense a Gautam Buddha is conscious. You are in between. A thick layer of thought does not allow you to be in the present. That's why while you are listening to me, you are listening and yet the listening is very superficial because deep down there are so many thoughts going on. You are listening, but it is not reaching to you. And as I stop speaking, suddenly you realize that you have been listening certainly, but you have not understood it. It has not penetrated you. It has not become part of your being. Something has prevented, as a China wall, those thoughts are transparent, but they are thicker than any China wall can be. You are neither asleep nor awake. You are in between. Awake as far as your day-to-day mechanical activities are concerned, and asleep as far as a clear consciousness, a pure consciousness, a deep innocence, like an unclouded sky is absent. The Pope was sitting with his cardinals, signing papers and proclamations. The phone rang and his secretary answered, "Your Holiness," she said, "it is about the abortion bill. A reporter wants to talk to you. Don't bother me." The Pope interrupted, "But he wants to know about your what you are going to do about the bill. Just pay it." The Pope replied, "Pay it quick." In what position you will put the Pope? Asleep? Away? He is in between. He has heard the word bill. But he has interpreted it in his own way. He has forgotten completely that the bill is about abortion. And certainly he has not been aborted. And he has not to pay any bill. But this is the situation of us all. We hear what we want to hear. We hear only that which adjusts with our preconceived notions, prejudices. You will be surprised to know that the scientific research is almost unbelievable. It says that 98% of what you hear is prevented from reaching to you. 98%. Only 2% reaches to you. It has to pass through so many thoughts, conceptions, beliefs, conditionings, and they go on cutting it according to them. By the time it reaches to you, it is totally something else than it was said, than it was heard. It is a long process of screening. and we are all screaming. If something falls in tune with our mind, that means with our past, we hear it. But if it goes against it, we certainly hear the sound, but we miss the meaning. To listen is a great art. People only hear. Very few people are able to listen. One man has reached Gautam Buddha. And he was a well-known philosopher of the day. And he has defeated many philosophers in discussions about the ultimate, the truth, the God. He had come to defeat Gautam Buddha too. That will be the crowning victory. He had brought with himself 500 chosen disciples to see Gautam Buddha defeated. But Gautam Buddha asked a very strange question. He asked, "Do you understand the meaning and the difference between hearing and listening?" The man was at a loss. He has come to discuss great things, and this is a small matter, and there is no difference as far as language is concerned, dictionaries are concerned, hearing is listening. The man said, "There is no difference at all." And I had not hoped that you will ask such an ordinary question. Gautam Buddha said, "There is a great difference, and unless you understand the difference, there is no possibility of any dialogue. I will say something, you will hear something else. So if you really want to have a dialogue with me, sit by my side for 2 years. Don't speak a single word. Just listen whatever I am telling to others. Unconcerned. I am not telling to you. So you need not be worried about it, whether it is true or untrue, whether you have to accept it or not. You are just a witness. Your opinion is not required." And after 2 years, you can have the dialogue, the discussion, you have come far. And I would love to be defeated. So it is not to postpone defeat. It is just to make the dialogue possible. At that very moment, Mahakashyapa, a great disciple of Gautama Buddha, perhaps the greatest, laughed. He was sitting under a tree far away. And the philosopher thought that that man seems to be mad. Why he is laughing? Buddha said, Mahakashyapa, this is not mannerly. Even for an enlightened man, this is not right. Mahakashyapa says, I don't care about right and wrong. I am just feeling sorry for the poor philosopher. And he turned to the philosopher and said to him that if you want to have a discussion, have it right now. After 2 years, there will be just silence and no dialogue. This man is not trustworthy. He deceived me. I have also come with the same idea you have come, to defeat him. And he cheated me. He said, sit down 2 years by my side and listen. Learn first the art of listening. And because you are not concerned at all, your mind need not function. And 2 years is a long time. The mind starts forgetting how to think, how to function. And the very presence of Gautama Buddha is so peaceful, is so silent, that one starts rejoicing the silence. And to listen to his words, which are not addressed to you, so you are not worried whether they agree with your prejudices, your philosophy, your religion, with you. Are not. You are indifferent. You listen to him as if you are listening to the birds singing in the morning when the sun rises. And 2 years the mind disappears. And although those words are not addressed to you, they start reaching to your heart. Because the mind is silent, the passage is open, the door is open, the heart welcomes them. So if you want to ask anything, if you want to challenge this man, challenge now. I don't want to see another man cheated again. Gautama Buddha said, it is up to you. If you want to defeat me now, I declare my defeat. There is no need to talk. Why waste time? You are victorious. But if you really want to have a dialogue with me, then I am not asking much. Just 2 years to learn the art of listening. The man remained for 2 years and even forgot completely that after 2 years he has to challenge Gautama Buddha for a debate. He forgot the whole calendar. Days passed, months passed, seasons came and went away. And after 2 years, he was enjoying the silence so much that he had no idea that 2 years have passed. It has to be remembered that time is a very elastic thing. When you are in suffering, time becomes longer. Suddenly, all the watches and clocks of the world start moving slowly. A great conspiracy against a poor man who is in suffering. Time moves so slowly that sometimes one feels as if it has stopped. You are sitting by the side of someone you love who is dying. In the middle of the night, it seems time has stopped. That this night is not going to end. That it was a fallacy of your idea that all nights end. This night is not going to have a dawn because the time is not moving. And when you are joyful, when you meet a friend after many years, when you meet a beloved, a lover, for whom you have waited long, suddenly, again the conspiracy. All the clocks, all the watches start moving faster. hours go like minutes, days go like hours, months go like weeks. Time is elastic. Time is relative to your inner condition. The man has enjoyed those 2 years of silence so deeply that he could not have conceived that 2 years have passed. Suddenly Buddha himself told him that, have you forgotten completely? 2 years have passed. This is the day 2 years before you had come. Now if you want to challenge me for a debate, I am ready. The man fell into the feet of Gautam Buddha and Mahakashyapa laughed again and he said, I have told you, but nobody listens to me. I have been sitting under this tree for almost 20 years, preventing people falling into the trap of this man, but nobody listens to me. They fall into the trap. And each person gives me 2 occasions to laugh. The man went after touching Gautam Buddha's feet to touch the feet of Mahakashyapa too. That I am grateful to you. But I have learned the distinction between hearing and listening. Hearing has made me a great knowledgeable man. And listening made me innocent, silent. A peace that passeth understanding. I don't have any questions and I don't have any answers. I am utterly silent. All questions have disappeared, all answers have disappeared. Can I also sit by your side under the tree? He asked Mahakashyapa. Mahakashyapa said, no. I don't accept disciples. That is the business of Gautam Buddha. You just go there. Don't crowd around my tree. Because here even there is nothing to listen, only once in a while a laughter. When somebody comes and I see that he is falling in the trap. You have fallen in the trap. Now be initiated, become a sannyasin, not only the man became a sannyasin, his 500 followers were also sitting and listening for 2 years. They had also become silent. Mary Catherine, you are well educated. Perhaps too much. Well read. Perhaps too much. Your mind is so full of thought. Those thoughts are creating a state which is neither consciousness nor unconsciousness. Everything seems to be so full of noise in you. That if I shout, perhaps my words may reach to you. But what about my whisper? And truth cannot be shouted. It can only be whispered. In fact, it can be said only in silence. Even whispering is too much. Affair verbiage. You put your educated mind aside. Here you have to be innocent. Like small children playing on the beach, making castles of sand, running after butterflies, collecting sea cells. Looking at everything with so much wonder that each and everything in existence becomes a mystery. Listening to me is only a beginning. Then you have to listen to the trees, to the mountains, to the moon, to the far away stars. They all have messages for you. To the sunrises, to the sunsets. They all have been waiting for so long. Once you start listening, the whole existence starts speaking to you. Right now only you speak to yourself and nobody listens. Three Soviet citizens, a Pole, a Czech, and a Jew, were accused of spying and sentenced to death. Each was granted a last wish. I want my ashes scattered over the grave of Karl Marx, said the Pole. I want my ashes scattered over the grave of Lenin, said the Czech. And I, said the Jew, want my ashes scattered over the grave of Comrade Gorbachev. But that is impossible. He was told, Gorbachev is not dead yet. Fine, said the Jew, I can wait. You should not wait. Start from this moment to listen, to be silent. Because the next moment is not certain. Gorbachev may die, may not die. Tomorrow it may not be so easy as it is today, because 24 hours you would have gathered more garbage in your head. Sooner the better, because you cannot sit silently. If you don't start now, you will be doing something or other. Don't postpone it. Every postponement is suicidal, particularly of those experiences which belong to the beyond.
Beloved Bhagwan, in Western society, at least, youth is considered to be everything. And to a certain extent, it seems this is as it should be if we are to continue growing in every dimension of life. But the natural glory of that is that as one moves away from youth, birthdays are no longer a cause for congratulations, but are an embarrassing and unavoidable fact of life. It becomes impolite to ask someone their age. Grey hair is dyed, teeth capped or replaced entirely. Demoralized breasts and faces have to be lifted, tummies made taut, and varicose veins supported, but undercover. You certainly don't take it as a compliment if someone tells you that you look your age. But my experience is that as I become older, each year is only better and better. Yet nobody told me this would be so, and you never hear people singing the praises of growing older. Would you, for the benefit of your middle-aged sannyasins, speak on the joys of growing older?
Manisha, the question you have asked implies many things. First, the Western mind is conditioned by the idea that you have only one life. Years of age. The youth will never come again. In the West, the spring comes only once. Naturally, a deep desire to cling as long as possible, to pretend in every possible way that you are still young. In the East, the older person was always valued, respected. He was more experienced. He has seen many men. Seasons coming and going, he has lived through all kinds of experiences, good and bad. He had become seasoned. He was no more immature. He has a certain integrity that comes only of age. He was not childish, carrying his teddy bear. He was not young, still fooling around. Thinking that this is love. He has passed through all these experiences. He has seen that beauty fades. He has seen that everything comes to an end. That everything is moving towards the grave. From the very moment it left the cradle, there is only one way, and it is from cradle to the grave. You cannot go anywhere else. You cannot go astray, even if you try. You will reach to the grave whatever you do. The old man was respected, loved, and he has attained a certain purity of the heart, because he has lived through desire and seen that every desire leads to frustration. Those desires are past memories. He has lived in all kinds of relationships and has seen that every kind of relationship turns into hell. He has passed through all dark nights of the soul. He has attained to a certain aloofness. The purity of an observer. He was no more interested in participating in any football game. Just living his life, he has come to a transcendence. Hence he was respected. His wisdom was respected. But in the East, the idea was that life is not just a one small piece of 70 years in which youth comes only once. The idea was that just as in existence everything moves eternally, the summer comes, the rains come, the winter comes, and the summer again. Everything moves like a wheel. Life is not an exception. Death is the end of one wheel and the beginning of another. Again you will be a child, and again you will be young, and again you will be old. And it has been so since the beginning, and it is going to be to the very end, till you become so enlightened that you can jump out of the vicious circle and can enter into a totally different life. From individuality, you can jump into the universal. So there was no hurry. And there was no clinging. But because the West is based on the Judaic tradition, which believes only in one life, Christianity is only a branch of Jews. Jesus was a Jew, born a Jew, lived a Jew, died a Jew. He never knew that he was a Christian. If you meet him somewhere and greet him, that hello Jesus Christ, he will not recognize whom you are addressing, because he never knew that his name is Jesus, and he never knew that he is Christ. His name was Joshua, a Hebrew name, and he was a Messiah of God, not a Christ. Jesus Christ is a translation in Greek from Hebrew. Mohammedanism is also a byproduct of the same tradition, the Jews. These three religions believe in one life. To believe in one life is very dangerous, because it does not give you chances to make mistakes, it does not give you chances to to have enough experience of anything, you are always in a hurry. The whole Western mind has become the mind of a tourist who is carrying 2-3 cameras and rushing, photographing everything because he has only 3 weeks visa. And in 3 weeks he has to cover the whole country. All the great monuments, there is no time for him to see them directly. He will see them at home, at ease, in his album. Whenever I remember the tourists, I see the old women rushing from one place to another, from Ajanta to Ellora, from Taj Mahal to Kashmir. In a hurry. Because life is short. It is only the Western mind which has created the proverb that time is money. In the East, things go slow. There is no hurry. One has the whole eternity. We have been here and we will be here again. So what is the hurry? Enjoy everything with intensity and totality. So one thing, that because of the idea of one single life, the West has become too much concerned about being young. And then everything is done to remain young as long as possible, to prolong the process. That creates hypocrisy, and that destroys an authentic growth, and that does not allow you to become really wise in your old age, because you hate old age, because old age reminds you only of death, nothing else, because old age means the full stop is not far away, you have come to the terminus. Just one whistle more and the train a star. I had with my grandfather an agreement. He loved his feet to be massaged, and I had told him that, remember, when I say kama, that means be alert, semicolon is coming close. When I say semicolon, get ready, because the full stop is coming close. And once I say full stop, I mean it. So he was so much afraid of kama. But when I will say kama, he will say, it is okay, but let the semicolon be a little long. Don't make it short and quick. Old age simply reminds in the West that full stop is coming close. Prolong the semicolon. And whom you are trying to deceive? If you have recognized that youth is no more there, you can go on deceiving the whole world, but you are not young. You are simply being ridiculous. I have heard two so-called young people got married. So-called because both were pretending to be young. Youth has been gone down the drain long, long time before. And they went for a honeymoon with suitcases, with the tags, just married. But both were afraid. There was not joy on their face. The fear of exposure. And immediately they entered the hotel room, they closed the door. And the man immediately went into the bed under the blanket and told the wife that put the light off. While you are in the bathroom, I will wait in darkness. I like darkness. The wife said, why you like darkness? I cannot because you are a stranger to me. We just met on the beach. I don't know who you are. You don't know who am I. I want to keep the light on whole night. The man said, I will not be able to sleep. The woman said, but at least unless I come out of the bathroom, keep the light on. And the struggle that is always the beginning of every honeymoon, the fight. Because the woman started insisting, why you are so stubborn that light should be put out. The man said, anyway you are going to know. So what is the point of hiding? He threw the blanket away and showed that one of his legs is false. He said, I wanted you not to know it. The woman said, but it is good. She threw her wig, took out her teeth, and told the man that my breasts are also false. So now there is no need to be afraid of light. He said, now there is no need to be afraid of anything. Now just come on, have a headache and go to sleep. The honeymoon is over. People are trying to remain young. But they don't know that the very fear of losing youth does not allow you to live it in its totality. And secondly, the fear of losing youth does not allow you to accept old age with grace. You miss both the youth, its joy, its intensity, and you also miss the grace and the wisdom and the peace that old age brings. But the whole thing is based on a false conception of life. And unless the West changes the idea, that there is only one life, this hypocrisy and this clinging and this fear cannot be changed. And in fact, life is not one. you have lived many times, and you will live many times more. Hence, live each moment as totally as possible. There is no hurry to jump for another moment. Time is not money. Time is inexhaustible. And it is available to the poor as much as to the rich. The rich is not richer as far as time is concerned, and the poor is not poorer. Life is an eternal incarnation. What appears on the surface is very deep-rooted in the religions of the West. They are very miserly in giving you only 70 years. And if you try to work out almost one third of your life will be lost in a sleep. One third of your life will have to be wasted in earning food, clothes, housing. Whatever little is left has to be given to education. Football matches, movies, stupid quarrels, fights, if you can save in 70 years' time 7 minutes for yourself, I will count you a wise man. But it is difficult. Even to save 7 minutes in your whole life, how can you find yourself? And how can you know the mystery of your being, of your life? How can you understand that death is not an end? Because you have missed experiencing life itself, you are going to miss the great experience of death too. Otherwise, there is nothing to be afraid of death. It is a beautiful sleep, a dreamless sleep, a sleep that is needed for you to move into another body. Silently and peacefully. It is a surgical phenomenon. It is almost like anesthesia. Death is a friend, not a foe. And once you understand death as a friend, and start living life without any fear that it is only a very small time span of 70 years. If your perspective opens to the eternity of your life, then everything will slow down. Then there is no need to be speedy. In everything, people are simply rushing. I have seen people taking their office bag, pushing things into it, kissing their wife, not seeing whether she is their wife or somebody else, saying goodbye to children, this is not the way of living. And where you are reaching with this speed? I have heard about a young couple who had purchased a new car, and they were going full speed. The wife was telling the husband again and again, where we are going? Because women are still old-minded. Where we are going? And the man said, stop bothering me. Just enjoy with what speed we are going. The real question is not where we are going. The real question is with what great speed we are going. Speed has become more important than the destiny. And speed has become important because life is so short. And you have to do so many things. Unless you do with speed, you cannot manage. You cannot sit silently even for a few minutes. It seems a wastage. In those few minutes you could have earned few bucks. Just wasting, closing your eyes and what is there inside you. If you really want to know, you can go to any hospital and see a skeleton. That's what is inside you. Why you unnecessarily are getting into trouble by looking in? Looking in, you will find an skeleton. And once you have seen your skeleton, life will become more difficult. Kissing your wife, you know perfectly well what is happening. Two skeletons. Just somebody needs to invent X-ray glasses, so people can put X-ray glasses and see all around. Skeletons laughing. Most probably he will not be alive to take his glasses off. So many skeletons laughing is enough to stop anybody's heartbeat. That, my God, this is the reality. And this is what all these mystics have been telling to people. Look inward. Avoid. The West has no tradition of mysticism. It is extroverted. Look outwards. There is so much to see. But they are not aware that inside there is not only the skeleton. There is something more within the skeleton. That is your consciousness. And by closing your eyes, you will not come across the skeleton. You will come across your very life source. The West needs a deep acquaintance with its own life source. Then there will be no hurry. One will enjoy when life brings youth. One will enjoy when life brings old age. And one will enjoy when life brings death. One simply knows one thing, how to enjoy everything that you come across, how to transform it into a celebration. I call it the authentic religion. the art of transforming everything into a celebration, into a song, into a dance. An old man walked into a health clinic and told the doctors, "You have got to do something to lower my sex drive." The doctor took one look at the feeble old man and said, "Now, sir, I have got the feeling that your sex drive is all in your head. That's what I mean, Sani." The old man said, "I have got to lower it a little." But even the old man is wanting to be a playboy. It's shows one thing with certainty, that he has not lived his youth with totality. He has missed his youth, and he is still thinking about it. Now he cannot do anything about it. But his whole mind is continuously thinking about the days which we have in youth. Have not been lived. At that time he was in a hurry. If he has lived his youth in his old age, he will be free of all repressions, sexuality, and there is no need for him to drop his sexual instinct. It disappears, it evaporates in living. Just one has to live uninhibited, without any interference from your religions, from your priests, and it disappears. Otherwise, when you are young, you are in the church. And when you are old, you are reading the Playboy, hiding it in your Holy Bible. Every Holy Bible is used only for one purpose: hiding magazines like Playboy. So you are not caught by children. It is embarrassing. I have heard three men, old men. One is 70, the other is 80, and the third is 90. They are all old friends, retired, used to go for a walk. And sit on a bench in the park and have all kinds of gossip. One day, the youngest of the three, the 70-year-old man, looked a little sad. The second one, the 80-year-old, asked, "What is the matter? You are looking very sad." He said, "I am feeling very guilty. It will help me to unburden myself if I tell you. It is an incident. A beautiful lady was taking a bath. She was a guest in our house, and I was looking through the keyhole. And my mother caught hold of me. The both old friends laughed. They said, "You are an idiot. Everybody does such things in childhood." He said, "It is not a question of childhood. It happened today." Second man said, "Then it is really serious. But I will say you something which have been happening to me for 3 days, and I am keeping it like a stone, a rock on my heart. Continuously for 3 days my wife has refused to love me. The first man said, "That is really very bad." But the third, the oldest, laughed and he said, "First you ask him, what does he mean by love?" So he asked. And the second old man said, "Nothing much. Don't make me feel more embarrassed. It is a simple process. I hold my wife's hand and press it 3 times. Then she goes to sleep and I go to sleep. But for 3 days, whenever I try to hold her hand, she says, 'Not today, not today.'" Feel ashamed, you are old enough, not today. So for 3 days I have not loved. Third old man said that this is nothing. what has been happening to me, I must tell you, because you are young and it will help you in your future. Last night, as the night was passing and the morning was coming closer, I started to make preparations to make love to my wife, and she said to me, "What are you trying to do, you idiot?" I said, "What I am trying to do? I am simply trying to make love to you." And she said, "This is the third time in the night. Neither you sleep nor you allow me to sleep. Love, love, love." So I think it seems I'm losing memory. Your problems are nothing. I have lost my memory. If you listen to old people, you will be surprised that they are talking only of things which they should have lived. But the time has passed when it was possible to live. That time they were reading the Holy Bible, listening to the priest, and those priests and those holy scriptures have corrupted people. Because they have given them ideas against nature, and they cannot allow them to live naturally. If we need a new humanity, we will have to erase the whole past and start everything anew. And the first basic principle will be, allow everybody, help everybody, teach everybody to live according to his nature, not according to any ideal, and live totally and intensely without any fear. Then children will enjoy their childhood. And the young people will enjoy their youth, and the old people will have the grace that comes naturally out of a whole life lived naturally. And unless your old age is graceful and wise and full of light and joy, contentment, fulfillment, a blissfulness, in your very presence, unless flowers blossom and there is a fragrance of eternity, then it is certain that you have lived. If it is not happening that way, that means somewhere you have gone astray. Somewhere you have listened to the priests, which are the corruptors, the criminals, somewhere you have gone against nature, and nature takes revenge. And its revenge is to destroy your old age and make it ugly. Ugly to others, and ugly in your own eyes. Otherwise, old age has a beauty which even youth cannot have. Youth has a maturity, but it is unwise. It has too much foolishness in it. It is amateurish. Old age has given the last touches to the painting of his own life. And when one has given the last touches, one is ready to die joyously, dancingly. One is ready to welcome death. Okay, Mahi.
Yes, of course.